Well, good morning, family of God. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord together? It's so wonderful to see each and every one of you here. And isn't it great that we can pray for each other and bring our needs together, not just privately, but corporately. And that's what the family of God is all about, isn't it? To bring everyone together and just thank God not only for this chapel, but for the blessings of His Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you, as you can see up on the screen, finding hope. Now, when Adrian mentioned about Romans 12:12, isn't that something, how that message of that verse, rejoicing in hope, being patient in throughout tribulations, and being constantly in prayer. Do I win a prize for that, Adrian? So, okay. But anyway, this gentleman can have the prize. Anyway, this morning I want to share with you about finding hope. Let me ask you this. If you come up to someone and said to them, do you know hope? What kind of response do you think that you would get? I wonder. Well, somebody might say to you, well, I don't know that person. I don't know hope. Oh, well, what do you mean by hope? We're going to be looking at that this morning. And that's something that we all need to have is hope, isn't it? We all need to have hope. So what comes to mind exactly when you think of the word hope? How would you define that word, hope? Would you think, well, Sandy, it's, I hope it happens this way, or I hope it happens that way, or I just hope that things are going to work out this way. How many times do we think about that word, hope? Or do we think about that word, hope? So we're going to be looking at that this morning, and I want to share this too with you. Did you know this, that in the Bible, 129 times the word hope comes up? 129 times. And there's different versions, of course, translations, but the virtue of hope is still the same. Still the same. I'd like to share something too this morning that's been concerning in my life on the issue of hope, because my friends, we've been living in a world of lost hope. Did you know that? You just have to listen to the news or talk to someone that you cross paths with in the street. What kind of hope do they share with you? Or do they talk about other things that have nothing to do with hope? I know I have when I talk to people at times. I've even talked to people in the church that have, basically, they have little hope. This is wrong, that's not right, this is going wrong, and this is... We need to have hope and rejoice in hope, just like that verse, Romans 12:12. And we need to be patient in tribulation, don't we? And my friends, hope is in short supply today. Would you turn in your Bibles with me? We've got a bit of a Bible quiz this morning. We're going to take a look at some scripture here. And everybody knows about Proverbs, about the wonderful Solomon, and how Solomon shares with us different things. We're going to look at Proverbs 13, verses 12. And then we're just going to go over, not too far, over to chapter 23. So if you have your Bibles, you want to flip there with me. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. And throughout my seminary, the professors have had me studying out of the English Standard Version, and I've learned a lot through that version, so I'm going to share this with you this morning on the scriptures that I have. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Well, let's flip over now to Proverbs 23. And we're going to look at verse 18. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Okay, let's fire over to Romans now. We're going to take a look at that, what the Apostle Paul has to say about hope in those two verses. We're going to look first at Romans 4, verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18, says this, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. And then we're going to take a look at, if you would flip over to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. What a message that verse is as well. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Would you take a moment and pray with me? And Father, we've heard many concerns here this morning, and people that are not only suffering, but they're having challenges in their life, not knowing what's transpiring with loved ones. Some have passed on. We thank you for them. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of them, and we pray, dear God, too, you would be with those families. I pray, O Lord, too, for each and every one here this morning. God, you know their hearts. You know what it is that's going on in their life. And Lord, we just ask you, too, to be with them and guide them. There's many in need, Father, for healing touches. And I thank you that we can pray corporately to you. And we just lift them up to you right now and ask for that healing touch in their life, where that you would provide the peace that passes all understanding, the comfort that only comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we gotta get to Jesus. And that's what we're doing this morning. We gotta get to you, Father, because you are the one, because nothing is impossible for those that love our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, for that. We leave these things in your care in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Father, too, that you would speak through your servant this morning, and that, Father, that you would bless those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When hope is lost, when our dreams, sometimes they just get shattered. We're not sure what's transpiring, and we kind of are left like dormant and just undeveloped. We're feeling like we're in a prison or something, and our character, it's manipulated or paralyzed by other people's opinions all the time, doesn't it? It seems like We're taken down garden paths with other people's opinions and actions. And they're broken due to what? Broken due to, like, heartbreak? Or hidden beneath the shattered ruins of past mistakes? Oh, Sandy, I made all these mistakes. What am I going to do now? And I have this sin in my life because of the mistakes. And we become attacked by these dreaded D's, And the dreaded D's is this. And I'm going to go to the next one here. The dreaded D's. So you think about, well, Sandy, these dreaded D's, what are they exactly? Well, they're despair, they're discouragement, they're depression, and there's death. And I'm going to cover briefly each one of those. And I'm going to let you decide this morning how you handle these dreaded four D's. We all have to handle them. That's the broken world we live in. It may be, some might say, well, this person's on drugs, or that person's on drugs. Or there could be another number of addictions that is going on in people's lives. People seem to turn to these, don't they? And what happens? They get a despair in their life. They're despaired. We, my friends, are in a world of fixes. Do you know what I mean by that? A world of fixes. Well, Sandy, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm going to need help. But I don't really want to ask for help. This doesn't need, my friends, to be the end of the story. God has great dreams and plans for our life. Did you know that? He thinks about you all the time. Well, some might say, well, no, I don't think he thinks about me all the time because look at the situation I'm in. Look what's happened to me. He loves you so much. He cares about you. Even though you're feeling discouraged, despair, and you're going through some of these dreaded D's, my friends, I have to assure you, he's still comforting you. He's still comforting you. And we'll get to that. Because you'll say, well, how am I comforted going through these things, these dreaded D's of my life? Now, we'll get to that. And so once again, I want to share with you too about hope. I want to share with you about Jeremiah. Many of us know quite a bit about Jeremiah. It starts out in chapter 25 of Jeremiah, and look what happened here. He was trying to convince Judah to leave their evil ways and get away from these dreaded D's. He tried to warn them and say, don't do this. It starts out, like I said, in Jeremiah 25, and he works his way down until all of a sudden the Lord said, well, they're not listening, so what's going to happen here? So what's the Babylonians? They take over. They come and they carry them away out of the land flowing with milk and honey. Houses they never built. Crops they never planted. They would not listen to God's prophet, Jeremiah. They wouldn't listen to him. So they ended up with all these dreaded D's, and the Babylonians come in and took them. And that's really another service, but for 70 years, they were gone from the land of flowing with milk and honey. The promised land, they were taken out of it, captured. But I'm going to assure you, my friends, and we'll get to that too another time, they were still comforted. So what does Jeremiah 29:11 say? For I have the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He wanted to bless them, to get them out of the dreaded D's. Your Bible translation may vary, but the same word of hope is in it. This is what we're all looking for as we wonder about, well, Sandy, what exactly does the future hold then? And so we look for some type of hope in our lives to get us through these uncertain times. Sometimes we go through, and I've talked to many, many people, they come across as they're feeling so worthless. Why? Why do you feel that way, that you're so worthless? You seem to be in this despair, discouragement, depression situation. And when it gets to death, I'm going to share that with you too a little more. Did you know there's three types of death? We'll deal with that too shortly. So when things seem hopeless, hope springs eternal. There is always hope. Can you get that? I trust you'll stick with me on that. There is always hope for us, for you, for me. The classic example of someone who would have had no hope for the future would have been what? Would have been like a guy like what we read about Abraham from the Old Testament. Take a look briefly at that guy's life. And family in those years was a big deal, a real big deal. Having sons and daughters and prosperity and God's blessings. But Abraham, what happened? He had no children. Why? And his wife, Sarah, they were over 90 years old. They were barren. They were well past the ability to have children. And with both of them, they wondered, well, how come we can't have kids? Didn't stop Abraham, though, from having hope, did it? He continued on. He trusted God. Why? I'm going to make you the father of many nations. When? Why? He had patience in this tribulation in his life. But he had hope, didn't he? He had hope. He was obviously believing. And that's a key word here, believing. And what happened? He did become the father of many nations. And so this hope was in God, and he continued to believe in him. He never stopped. And is living his life to the fullest? Did he have any frustrations and fears? Yes, he did, and he gave them over to the Lord. Did he end up with any of these dreaded D's? I suspect he did. What about the plan that God had for his life? God's plan for Abraham was peace, and it wasn't evil. Sometimes we get into places in our life and we think, why is this happening? What's going on? I'm being attacked. Yes, the devil's at work full time, and he's out to destroy us, and it's happening. But because we're a family of God, we stick together. Why? Because we have hope. Because we look to him for that hope, don't we? When you talk about hope, other people talk about hopelessness. You ever run into people that you've shared with that it's storming in their life all the time? Nothing's right. Everything's going wrong. This isn't working. Nothing is good. I'm just going to go and eat worms. Like, people seem to, at times, they want to bring you down. But do you want to know how you can bring them back? You can say, hey, let me tell you about hope. And they might say to you, I don't think I know that person. Well, let me tell you about the hope that I have in me. God created each and every one of us, and he put inside of us a dream. You could say God created us with a divine design in mind, and he did. He designed you so special, and you are special. While it may not be evident sometimes, might not even be evident right now, but you are special. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're not. Everything that is going on in our lives, God has a plan. And to get this divine design, we, my friends, we can't leave the designer. Don't leave the designer of your life. That's our Lord God. We don't want to leave him behind. We want him to take the wheel. It's in him and him alone where all our hope comes from. And it is from him that hope springs eternal. Because what? Because he's the eternal one. Remember I said I would share with you about the death portion of the dreaded deeds. There's three types of death. The first one is physical. The second one, my friends, is spiritual. And the third death is eternal, separated from God for eternity. That's where we need to come together and have hope. It's been said, too, that we can go 40 days without food, okay? 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air, but we can't last a single second without hope. Did you know that? That's why I said that hope is to our spirits what oxygen, my friends, is to our bodies. When we don't have enough oxygen to breathe, what happens? We die. And when we don't have enough hope, our spirits die. We are all seeing this all over the place, all around us. Hope is therefore essential to life, because when hope is gone from life, all intents and purposes of our lives, what happens? It's gone as well, and we'll never live this life as God designed us to live it. People without hope are missing out. They're missing out. Every one of us has a dream and plans so that we want to become, and what we get in life is because what God gives us. And that's the part of the hope that we have in him. And we thank him for that blessing. Thank him every day. God has not only the great dreams for our lives, to give us a future and a hope. It's like what Jeremiah was trying to say to Judah. Come on. Leave your part, leave those evil things, leave the dreaded deeds, and trust God for your life. Don't turn to these evils and idols and things that you're doing. Because if you continue this disobedience, you're gone. You're gone. And they continued, and what happened? What happened to them? Babylonians come in and took them, captured them. And they held them for 70 years. That's what God's words tells us. Are you trusting him this morning? Are you trusting God this morning for what he's done for you and what he's going to do? Do you have the hope in your life this morning? Such hope can never be achieved through what the world calls hope. The world has a different definition of hope than the Lord Jesus Christ does. In the world, hope is more like a wishful thinking. Well, Sandy, I wish, okay, I would say, I wish for this, I wish for that. Well, I wish I won the lottery. Well, I wish I had, I'm not sure, I wish. Ever heard people talking like that? We say, I hope so, or we say, I hope it's true. Further, the world defines hope rather pessimistically. Like one person who said, it's wishing for something that you know you, my friends, you ain't never gonna get it. It's not gonna happen. It's been said hope is quite different than optimism. So worldly hope is nothing more than an abstract concept with no substance, my friends, to support it. But hope, as defined in the Bible, my friends, isn't wishful thinking. That's not wishful thinking. Rather, it's a confident expectation, and let me assure you of this, it's a certainty. If you don't know Christ, you have no hope. That's what God's Word is telling us. And you'll be separated from God as one of the dreaded D's, as death. You'll be taken in with that three types of death. The physical, the spiritual, you'll be dead. And you'll be separated from God. That's the final death forever. This should give people wake-up calls, because we're in our final days. As the world is concerned, it places its hope on the human race evolving and getting better. But as we've seen over countless centuries of what? Of recorded human history, humanity, is it getting better? The studies that I've done, it's not getting better. But rather, it's quite the opposite. Humanity has gotten even a lot worse. And I'm sure some of you have witnessed that. Bottom line is this: lost hope is that dreaded D, that death. We get people jumping off bridges. We hear about that. I just was listening the other day. People are going on cruise ships, jumping off the ships. No hope. They jump off the ship. They run out and they stand in front of a train. They walk out into traffic. They just walk out in front of a truck. They overdose. The violent killings. Sudden evil is entering within, my friends. Things are transpiring. Yes, there's glimpses of humanity today, as God intended, because the Holy Spirit is still here. And there are also great advances in technology and medicine, where we're able to live longer and more productive lives. But the human heart, let me share this, the human heart is still the same. The human heart. What about your heart this morning? Genesis 6:5 tells us this. Even from the very beginning, it was this way, as the Lord saw the wickedness of a man and how great it was, and how every intention of the human heart was continually evil. And frankly, the whole concept of the world getting better, it's kind of like it's laughable if it wasn't so tragically false. The crime rate, acts of terror and violence, environmental disasters, we're hearing about all of these things that are transpiring, natural, man-made, are not only up, but they're adding up more and more. People are talking about climate change. But my friends, can I share this about climate change? This is God change. He controls the weather, therefore the world can offer no hope at all. Because the object of its hope, that is, humanity, is totally flawed. One important element of regaining hope is our need to stop devaluing ourselves. putting ourselves down. And understand that, my friends, we have great value. You are so valuable. Psalms 139, 14 to 16 tells us this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I didn't say that. God's word said that. So, what's this telling us? What's this telling us, you and I, friends? Well, we've been made special, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I don't want you this morning, and when you leave today, I don't want you to ever forget that. For 150 years or so, most of the scientific community has been devaluing human life through what is known as what? Evolution. And what we need to understand is that evolution, it's not scientific. Rather, evolution is a faith-based system. In fact, that's why it's called the theory of evolution. And that's because it's based upon what? It's based upon assumptions. Unsupported by scientific methodology, which is what a theory is. It's unsubstantiated fact based on observation. That's what it is. The reason I bring this up is because if evolution is to be believed, then life has no meaning. It has no meaning, then, if evolution is believed. Then life has no meaning. Life has no value, which means that there is nothing valuable about us. Because according to evolution, we're nothing more than what? An elevated pond scum of some sort. Molecule of some sort. That's what evolution is trying to pump into us today. Life is then devalued under evolution, which is why so many people walk around today with lost hope. Just taking their lives as well, as and also they take lives of other people. Because life has no value to them. I don't get in my life, and I'm sure you've thought about it, atheism, and I've studied that. They got some kind of a faith, but it's only a faith in themselves, evolution. That's all. And they get up in the morning, well, I'll live today, well, I don't know what's, they just don't. Have you ever talked to someone that's an atheist? It's very, very disheartening talking to them. Have you ever heard this term? Hurt people hurt people. You ever heard that? That's part of the four dreaded D's. Friends, what we need is to see ourselves as God sees us, which is at the heart of the maxim we repeat every time we gather Sunday mornings. And that is, we are greater in the eyes of God than we are in our own eyes. He loves you and I so much. And while our hearts may condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows what truly lies within us, within our hearts. So how does God see us? In God's eyes, we are of great value because He has put that value in us. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are so special that He took the time to make you that way. God said in Genesis 1:26-27, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. He made male and female exceptionally special. Exceptionally special. God created us with an inherent value. And that's because we've been created, now get this, we've been created in the image and likeness of the Lord God Himself. And because of this, the Lord now dwells within us as what? As He promised He would. He said, I will be with you. I will comfort you. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's what Jesus said. And so we need, my friends, to stop devaluating ourselves. Have you ever heard people that you've crossed paths with? Well, you know, I'm not really, I just don't, I'm not, I feel worthless. You know, I don't really like myself. I don't like who I am. I would like to be like that person or that person. Have you heard people talk like that? Or as we state in our maximum, we need to stop, my friends, condemning ourselves. I've even heard people within our churches, they literally say things that's like they're condemning themselves. Oh, Sandy, I'm never going to get well. Oh, Sandy, I'm never going to be able to do this. I can't do this anymore. It's just not working out. It doesn't look like this is going to work for me. Where's the hope in that? So I stopped him and I said, you know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are special. You are valued. God created you in His image. Things in keeping with what God has for you, pray that for what it is that you need. Pray that together. Let me pray for you in that way. God is the only one who knows who we truly are. Through my studies, I was sharing with Burl this morning, through my studies in seminary, I've learned that what a maxim is in this context, it's briefly a pithy of an expression of some general principle or rule of conduct. Knowing this, knowing that, stick with me here, He's the only one who knows the tremendous value He has placed within us. He's placed a significant value within you. This is why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? What this means is that we are no longer under God's condemnation as believers in Jesus Christ. My friends, the key is to understanding that condemnation is a legal judicial term. That when someone stood condemned, the judge would sentence him or her to some sort of a punishment. Friends, the Bible says that indeed, that we're all sinners. And that there is no one who is righteous enough for heaven. There never has been, and friends, there never will be outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible also talks about what that sentence of condemnation is. And that's the last dreaded D on your screen. And that's death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so all humanity is under the condemnation of sin. And the judgment that must be passed down is what? Is the sentence of death. But this is where Jesus steps in. He steps in here. And where hope comes alive, it's alive, it's thriving. Because when we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, we are no longer condemned, but what are we? We're justified. We're justified. That is, we've been pronounced not guilty because the penalty for our sin has been paid in full. Friends, your sins and my sins, the price has been paid in full. He paid it. He paid that price. That is, we've been pronounced not guilty because of this penalty price for our sin, which is death, was paid for by Jesus, and he hung on the cross, and he went there for you and for me. A death that we all deserved. Therefore, if God says we're no longer under the law's condemnation, which is death, then we've got to stop placing ourselves under it. We need to keep convincing ourselves, my friends. Convincing ourselves. That we have been forgiven. Because God's word says that we have been through Christ. Crucifixion on the cross. Now look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6:23, and then I'll share with you this thought. For the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust that's a memory verse for you. And while we know this is true and a reality, there's another reality at play here, and that is there has still been a loss, an abuse or disappointment that we're dealing with today. Some may be here today, or some people you may know are dealing with one of those dreaded D's. They're dealing with that, and we can help them. We can help them. Now, while you say, well, Sandy, well, how can we help them? Well, here's a thought. Just with when you think you can do it on your own, thinking you got it all together, you could get humbled in a big hurry. So by our help, we can help these people in their lives by giving them that hope. What's Isaiah 43:13 say? Do not fear, is the past part. Do not fear. I will help you. And that's where also God would want you and I to come in. To help these people not to fear and to let them know that we know a God that can help them through any of those four D's. He wants to reach out and take you by the right hand and lift you up. He wants to do that for you this morning. He wants to lift you up out of those dreaded four D's. He wants to take care of you and give you that comfort. And I trust that this morning you will allow God to do that. And did you know this too? That hope also is a formula for obedience. If you hope in the Lord, you're going to be obedient to him. Judah wasn't obedient, so what happened? Jeremiah told him, you're not obedient. You're evil. You won't stop it, and I'm warning you. God sent me here to warn you if you don't stop what you're doing. God's going to create judgment on them, and he did. Had them captured by the Babylonians. Wouldn't listen. Didn't want to be obedient. Oh, dear friends, walk out today embracing hope in your life. Stand tall, knowing the price has been paid and that you're so victorious. Did you know that each and every one of us this morning, we're in victory? The battle's been won. The battle's won. It's over. He loves you so much that he took that price and paid it in full. We've won. Yes, we've had loss, and we've heard about some this morning. Yes, we've suffered abuses. We've suffered many things that have created some of these dreaded D's in our life. I've talked to a number of people, too. Their marriages. Oh, man. They've been married for this long or that long, and they're struggling, and some of these dreaded 4Ds, and they think, well, I don't know, maybe is the grass greener over there? Oh, no, it's not greener. It's not greener. God brought yous together. He wants to take care of yous. Have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring your marriage under the umbrella of the Lord Jesus Christ. And give him the concerns that you need to get dealt with. And that doesn't mean, too, like, I'm not one, too, if it's abuse or if their marriage is being treated abusively and there's physical or there's even mental abuse that can cause real problems in a person's life. We've endured disappointments one after another, haven't we? And we found ourselves clicking under one of these dreaded 4Ds. Nobody wants to be in despair or discouraged or depressed to the point of feeling worthless, that their life is worthless. It doesn't mean that things can't be made new, that we can have a new normal in our lives. Are you open for a new normal today? Are you open to pray, Lord, I don't want any of these dreaded D's in my life? And when we hit some of those dreaded D's, stop and pray about them right away. Lord, I turn this over to you. I don't want the despair in my life. I don't want to be discouraged. Will you help me? Stop in your tracks and say, I need to hope so that you can grab a hold of me and lift me up out of that. Would you do that this morning in your life? Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Before we call on Melinda, did you get that? Did you get that part? Behold, all things have become new. We can be made new and whole again, not only emotionally. Well, Sandy, I've been hurt so bad. This person said this, or my wife said this, or my husband did this to me, or this happened, and I had this relationship, and I'm just hurt so bad. I have an emotional issue. I'm caught under all of these dreaded 4Ds. I can't stand it anymore. I want out. What does the Apostle Paul say in Corinthians 5:17? Behold, all things have become new. We can be made new and whole again, not only through our emotions. If there's things going on in your life, don't leave this morning without giving me the opportunity to pray for you. Well, you say, well, Sandy, I don't really want to share what's going on in my life. Why not? That's what the family of God, we sung about that this morning. This is a family of God. We love each other. We want to pray for you. So don't leave this morning if something's on your heart that you want to get dealt with. I want to pray for you for that. You want to get restored and refreshed. You know how refreshing comes? By bringing the concerns that you have before Jesus Christ, the foot of the cross. Get refreshed. Turn it over to him. Turn it over to him. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, and Paul shares this, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. I've did what you wanted me to do, Lord. And I know what's in store for me because of fighting the good fight. Because I'm going to get the crown of righteousness. Aren't those wonderful words? Sandy, I'm fighting the good fight this morning. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to ask God to get rid of these dreaded D's out of my life. Not that I won't have them anymore, but when I do, I'm going to take them right away to the cross because I'm going to get refreshed. And so in closing, does hope in your life this morning spring eternal? And when I talk about eternal, I talk about the eternity that you and I are going to spend together with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater than that. So where do you place your hope this morning? Would you take a moment, think about that before Melinda comes? Where do you place that in your life? Will you prayerfully make a choice today to break those chains? Nobody wants to be chained up and handcuffed and walking through your life. You want those chains broken. You and I can't break those chains, but I know of a man that lives today that can break them, those chains, that bondage in your life. The last thing I'd like to share is, do you share hope with others? Do you do that? Well, you say, well, Sandy, how can I share hope with others? Well, I can tell you some ways. First, you can be an example. You can be an example. And you can also tell them, do you know hope? Ask them, do you know hope? Because if you don't, I'll share some with you. Because I'm going to hope for the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and that's what's going to transpire in my life. Are we afraid to mention that to people? I hope you're not. The message I wanted to share this morning, for our lives can be changed from hopelessness to hopefulness, from feeling of having little or no value to an understanding, my friends, of great value. A grave price, like I said, was paid for you. This week, will you let others know about your gifted fruits of your life? You have gifts. Many of us here have more than one gift. Could be gifts of hospitality, could be gifts of sharing with others. Have you got a time to pick up the phone and say, hey, I just thought I'd give you a call there. I just wanted to give you a call and say, hey, how you doing today? How are you? Or do you have the time to say, hey, how about a cup of coffee together? Just love to share with you. It's called the gift of availability. Gifts of hospitality, like what you're doing today here. What I want to do and what has always been my desire is to help us walk along this journey of faith. God has placed me and is conducting in my life, developing me, helping me to learn, to help people walk through their life in faith, to give people some hope. This is a journey that's a true spiritual transformation, and we're trying to, all of us as a family of God, regain hope corporately once again. Jeremiah 17:7 says this. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Another good memory verse. What happens if you trust in the Lord? My friends, He will bless you. He will bless you. Look at God's promise in Isaiah 49:23. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. In Jesus' name, amen, Melinda.